Hey, Shoujo fans, welcome to episode 49 of the Shoujo Sunday podcast. This week we will be reviewing Fruits Basket, episode 24 and 25. It's finale time. Let's dig in. Okay, guys, we made it to the season one finale of Fruits Basket. Gianna, how are you feeling?
I don't want it to be over. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to let go of Toru yet.
I feel the same way, but guys, please be rest assured. We will do season two.
Yes.
It's just not going to be the very next season we start, like, the next season. The very next series we cover.
Yeah.
But we will be doing season two, so do not feel anxious and stuff. We just figured, okay, start off Fruits Basket, do season one, have a little bit of a break, and then go back.
Yes.
So
do not fret. We will return to our Zodiac loves very soon. Well, soon. Maybe not very soon.
Soon. Eventually.
Yes. Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed all of the guests that we had for our season one coverage. Thank you guys. Well, thank you so much to Ashley from Shoujo and Tell, Avery from Kyoru Yiyi. See, I did my best, Avery. The Annie Bays. Crystal from Crunchyroll's podcast, Crunchycast.
Yes.
And YouTube's Get in the Robot. And Vampy, Shoujo Say yes. World, my girl, behind the manga. Yeah, thank you. Thank all of you so much for coming on and recapping Fruits Basket with us. We appreciate it so much. I feel like it was a lot of fun to have guests. And we kind of wanted to do that because, like, with the way that we are formatted and our posting schedule, it just made more sense to have people come on for episodes like this versus, like, coming up with, like, a special episode to do it.
Mm-hmm.
To do, like, some sort of interview or whatever. But, yeah. So, anyway, it's time to get into the finale legitimately, like, for real.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get started. Here is our soft serve summary for Fruits Basket, episode 24, Let's Go Home. Brought to you by Wikipedia. No editing, so...
Ooh, hard mode.
Hard mode, yeah.
Before we dive into this soft serve summary for episode 49 of Fruits Basket, I just want to issue a really quick trigger warning specifically for our Rocky Road segment. If you aren't comfortable with the subjects of suicide, suicidal and homicidal thoughts, and violence, maybe skip our Rocky Road section or skip ahead to when we review episode 25, which will be notated in the show notes.
Okay. Kyo's foster father, Kazuma Soma, visits Shigure's house to see Kyo. Overjoyed at his return, Kyo reminds Kazuma of his promise that he can return to the dojo with him. Kazuma, however, believes that it would be beneficial for Kyo to continue living at Shigure's house because of Toru's positive influence. He thus confides in Shigure his plan to confront Kyo and expose his true cat form in the belief that Toru will save him, which Kagura overhears. That night, Kazuma removes the rosary from Kyo's wrist and exposes his true form in front of Toru, with Kagura and Yuki watching from behind the scenes. Frightened of ultimately losing her, he runs away from the house, but Toru follows him. She catches up to him, but Kyo violently turns her away. Although initially repulsed at the sight, Toru does not back away, but instead clings to Kyo and vows never to leave his side. The embrace reminds Kyo of his mother before her passing, and he briefly turns back to normal before transforming into a cat after embracing Toru, as Toru then carries him back to the house. And that is our summary.
Oh my God, this episode.
Very, very emotional. Oh my God.
Yes, like, yes.
Gianna, do you have a theme?
I do. I just put like an overarching theme. I said It is more important to be honest than to tell people what you think they want to hear.
Oh, yes. Beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you. What do you have?
I have, sometimes people need to see you at your worst to tell you exactly what you need to hear.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We had like similar threads.
Yes. Yes. Do you have any sprinkle on top?
I didn't write any for this episode. Do you have any?
Yeah, yeah. I put the lukewarm bath.
Okay.
Because when Kazuma is talking to Kyo and Kyo's kind of excited to go back with Kazuma to the dojo, and Kazuma is basically like, no, you should stay here, then Kyo compares living at the living in the house with Toru as being, well, not just Toru, also with Shigure and Yuki, as being in a lukewarm bath, and that he's starting to get pruney and he wants to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that to compare his experience there as a lukewarm bath, it's like, I think that the fact that it's probably lukewarm, like, I mean, I know normally people wouldn't really like that, but it's still like warm. So there's still some level of comfort, right? And I feel that that is kind of attributed to Toru.
Mm.
But the pruniness and the desire to get out is more in reference to being there with Yuki primarily, and also like just his headspace as a Zodiac member. Like, he wants to get out. He wants to be away from the curse. He wants to be away from a lot of things. That might be a slight reach, but that's what I had for symbolism.
I really like that. I think that that's a really cool way to like read into it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. It is time for Floats Your Boat. I'm going to be honest. I just have two. So
do I. What if we have the same two?
Twins again. Okay. We might. I don't know. We probably do. Yeah. Okay. What's your first one?
Okay, my first one is that Kyo is so adorable when he's able to let go and greet his master, like, formally.
Yes.
He's just so happy to see him, and it's the sweetest thing.
Yes, I had that Kyo not wanting to show his happiness in front of others, but then Kazuma understanding it and stuff, and, like, it's just so cute.
Yeah, yeah, the way Kazuma is just, like, which room's Kyo's, like, so calmly, and yeah. It goes over Toru's head, but everyone else is like, oh, they're so happy to see each other. Oh, it's so cute.
It's so cute. Like, so cute.
Yeah.
The second one, or at least this, my second one, is just Toru in general fighting for Kyo.
Yeah, pretty much. I wrote specifically that Kazuma asks Toru if Kyo's true form disgusts or frightens her, and without even replying, Toru runs after him.
Right, yeah.
It's all like low-key Rocky Road. We'll get there.
For real, right? That's just, yeah. Toru is so amazing. But yeah, just the fact that she fought for him, and she fought for him against all odds, against really like what his family assumed, against herself as well, because it's not like she wasn't repulsed either.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I guess that's it for Floats Your Boat. So.
Yeah.
Let's move into Banana Split. What is your first one?
I only have one, and it's kind of half-baked, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I have when, because I just didn't like hearing Kyo telling Kazuma that he hates living at Shigure's house. It's just like kind of sad that like that's the way he truly feels, or at least saying that that's how he truly feels.
Mm-hmm.
And Kazuma just thinks to himself, that's not hate you feel. And it hit me like, oh no, it's not, Kyo. So that's why it's Banana Split.
Right, because I feel as if he said that because he just mentally operates in extremes.
Yes.
So he's like, I hate it here. It's like, you described it as a bath. That means you're clean. I don't know.
Because Kyo was like, I hate it. And Kazuma was like, that's not hate. That's something else. And that's why I was
right.
Like, ooh, no, it's not. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I actually have a couple. I have like six.
Ooh, okay, go off.
We will be here for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. So when Kazuma is talking to Shigure about revealing Kyo's cat form, and Shigure thinks even you choose to entrust everything to her.
Mm-hmm.
I was banana split about that because it just in general makes me uncomfortable that all of these people are heavily relying on Toru and then also don't let her be aware of what's really going on. they just expect her to perform.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so for me, it's just I really kind of despise the high-handedness of the adults in the situation. But then, I don't know, it was just interesting to see that. So I was just like, okay. So more of y'all adults are complicit and not really adults because...
Yeah.
What? The next thing I have is that... Okay, so in general, Kazuma's reasoning on taking the rosary beads off Kyo...
Okay.
Because, like, part of me was, like, really enraged. I think it's in multiple segments, but, like, I get it in the sense that he wants Kyo to confront things about himself and beliefs that he has, but I just really don't like the way he's going about it. Because him saying, like, I hate the rat, I hate this, I hate that, it's like, okay, you sound like your childhood self. And he could see that since he's basically been, like, the surrogate dad for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like there's a way of going about it that could have been different, honestly.
I agree. I think that I should have written that down in Banana Split, too. Because... like, similarly to what you were just saying about them expecting Toru to perform, like, this is a pretty big deal and a big ask. Like, the least they could do is, like, clue her in on what's about to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they want her reaction to be genuine or whatever, but, like, just, like, explain to her what's going on. You don't have to tell her, like, exactly what it all means if you don't want to, but, like, at least a little something.
Yeah, yeah. I think that they do a lot, but
yeah,
it's a different segment. So, okay, this is kind of, it's funny, but it's not funny, guys. So please, like, walk with me here, okay?
Okay.
So, Kyo's cat form, cat spirit form, it's like, I had two minds of it. Like, when I saw it, I was like, Kyo looks like a brown Pokemon.
Oh my god, wait, stop. Not us having the same exact thought. I'm like, he's a Pokemon. He's a Pokemon. This is like a legendary Pokemon.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, like, with the eyes and shit. Because I was just like, why is he a Pokemon? Like, it's a Pokemon. It's a dinosaur.
It's Cat Charizard. Like,
Yes, yes.
Okay, title of this episode is Cat Charizard.
well, no, because, you know, we usually do finale. Traditional.
Oh, that's right.
It would have been Cat Charizard.
Yeah, that's true. It would have been Cat Charizard.
Oh my gosh, this just looked like a brown. So what? Of one mind, I was like, he looks like a brown Pokemon with red eyes. Then the other part, which is just really bad. Like, I'm so sorry, y'all. But I guess this is in particular because I know there are people who are younger that listen to our podcast. Hi. I guess. Hi.
Hi.
But anyway, for our listeners that are 21 and up, like, have you ever had, like, a really just a long night, right? A long night of drinking barely any food, and then you get home and then, like, you feel ill and so you have to take a shit, like,
it looks like, oh my god,
this shit in the toilet. I know y'all have looked at it. It looks just like it leaves a little stain too, and you have to clean after it. Like, yes. Kyo looks like a long turd. I'm sorry.
Well, I gotta tell you, that's not ever the thought I had when I watched this episode, but now I'm never gonna be able to unsee it.
I'm so sorry, y'all.
Oh my god.
It's very specifically after a long night of drinking. You know what those poos look like. You know it. And he looks just like it, doesn't it? I rest my case. Like, it's true.
Oh my god.
I thought it was interesting that, like, the pants fit, but maybe it's also because they just didn't want to figure out, like, what genitalia would look like on his Pokemon form, but, like...
I think it was purely so that when he, like, changed back, he would have pants on. I think it was entirely for the plot.
Like, right, right. Because I was just like, like, your thighs are the same size? Interesting. Okay.
I guess in a way, like, even though that's, like, kind of silly, it does give him an even more, like, disfigured kind of appearance.
True.
But I think it was all just, like, so that they wouldn't have to navigate nudity.
Yeah. I have two last things. One is, how could Toru get up the mountain so fast to hug Kyo's turd arm because she was walking away, guys. She was walking away.
Yeah.
After he, well, we'll get to that in another segment.
Ooh, we're going to get to that. Yeah.
But after she was, so she was walking away in the river and then she decides, I'm turning around to him. And all of a sudden, she was just there 2 seconds. And it's like.
Anime magic.
Anime magic. But I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Question that. And then the last thing that I had is, like, we see Kyo's cat spirit hit the mountain and he partially breaks the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So one thought I have is, like, one, Toru should be a little bit more fucked up if he broke a mountain.
Yeah.
But then outside of that, if he can literally break a mountain in this cat spirit form, why doesn't he try to kill Yuki in the cat spirit form?
I wonder if it's because he wants to be, like, on equal grounds, I guess. Maybe it would just be, like, he's aware he's OP in the cat version, maybe.
Right.
Regarding Toru, I'm wondering if... I'm thinking, actually, of a quote that Shigure says, like, super early on. He says something about how Kyo has the power to throw a punch, but also the power to stop that punch right before it lands.
Mm.
So I wonder if he was using, like, less strength on Toru than he was on the mountain.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
But either way, I mean, it's... she really went flying and she has, like, a cut on her shoulder. But yeah.
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 And her neck.
Yeah.
Different segment. Okay.
Huh.
But that's all I had for Banana Split. I hope you guys liked the turd analogy.
I'm sure they did.
I hope y'all liked it because I'm telling you, like, the way that I laughed with Gianna recording this, when I thought about it, when I watched the episode, I was literally crying.
Oh.
I could not, like, I was just like, wow, like, why do I think this way? But yeah, so y'all are not the only ones astounded by what comes out of, like, my mouth. Even I'm not about what comes out of my mouth, but just, like, what I think about. Like, I am so unhinged at times, but either way.
So am I. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now we will move on into Rocky Road. Gianna, can you kick it off?
Sure. So the first thing that I have is Kazuma consoles Kyo as a child, saying that he understands him, that it's okay, that his mother's death wasn't his fault. And then he offers him to live with him, and Kyo breaks down crying, finally feeling like he's safe, like in a safe place to break down. I was crying with Kyo, because that is everything and more that he needed in that moment.
Right. I do agree. It's in the sense that somebody needed to get him out of there. And, like, the one person that technically only gave Kyo any positivity or, like, sort of reminiscent loving energy died.
Yeah.
And all of these people were around him and blaming him. And so he's, like, repeating, like, just traumatized. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And he's, Cosmo's like, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
And just, he just breaks too. I don't even think that they were in a separate place. They were still around all of those terrible people. And it was just like, he just needed one person to defend him so he didn't have to be defiant, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that made me super emotional. Ooh, the part where Kyo says that, because he was so upset with his mom, like, passing away, he literally was just like, I could kill the rat. If I kill the rat and I kill myself, would you be happy? Like, as a child?
A small child, yeah.
Oh my God. Like,
that's so heavy.
It's awful. It is so heavy. It's so much, guys, because even his first instance with death is his mom killing herself for it to be now part of his vocabulary, to the point where he said he would also kill himself. And he's like literally a baby. It's so sad.
It really is.
Yeah.
The next thing that I have is just that Kyo's shame is palpable.
Mm-hmm.
He hates his circumstances and his true form so much. And he's threatening Toru and pushing her away, literally, like, physically, because he assumes he's going to lose her regardless just because of his true form.
Yeah.
And this curse he carries and the shame he carries, you know, all of that just made, I was crying. There was a point in this episode where I think I was just crying for, like, the rest of it. Yeah. I really, really feel for him, which makes what Toru does hit even harder.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you start getting like the literal audio flashback of his mom talking about, don't look at him. Don't look at my son.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
I love you so much, but I don't want the world to, like, see you.
Right.
This is all before, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Hiding him from the world, acting as if you care about him, and it's just like you're just damaging him and damaging him, and then you're gone like that. Like, it's so sad. And you just feel like your heart just breaks for him. It makes me so upset that he went through that level of trauma. And like, yes, he had Kazuma, but all of the Somas really need therapy for real.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Legitimate therapy. I don't know how y'all can be so rich and have so many people in different professions and didn't think a therapist was needed, like with the way that this Zodiac is.
Right. You're all literally cursed. You should go to, there should be a therapist on the inside, not just a doctor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be so useful.
For real. Honestly, I don't know what they're doing that to not have one, but it's very dumb to me.
Yeah.
Ooh, I had, when Kyo said he's sick of having things forced on him. Ooh, that made me like, cause like I was crying, but I had like a frustrated cry too.
Yeah.
Because like, You just get so resentful, really, of people pushing things on you. Like, I can tell you right now, if somebody needs something from me, they should just tell me. I despise it when people push their agendas onto me. And I have said in the past that I don't want to do this. This is not for me. Da, 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 da. And then here you are pushing an agenda again. Get the fuck out of my face. It's one of the bigger things that I hate. I just do not like that at all. Like, trying to control people or make them move the way that you want them to move. And I feel so badly for him because even as a grown, not a grown, like even as a teenager with a little bit more autonomy, people are still forcing things onto him. And it's just really sad.
Yeah, it's like his whole life is like being put into this box of being the cat. And then it just becomes more and more of a heavy burden as he grows older.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I had Kyo fighting his mom in his head.
Yeah. Oh.
Just the flashbacks. And I broke at the rosary checking because you just saw his little baby hand.
Yeah.
And she's pushing it over and over. Like, is it there? Is it there? Is it there? And it's just like, obviously, because you don't see a little mini turd in front of you. Like, sorry, y'all. But it's still like, you don't see a mini Pokemon in front of you. You don't see him. You just see, like, this cute baby.
Yeah, this sweet boy.
Yeah.
So, when Toru actually turns around and starts walking away after Kyo threatens her, I teared up immediately. Toru doesn't give up easily, and she doesn't give up on the people she cares about.
Yeah.
And when she actually turned around and started walking away, she was, must have been thinking to herself, like, yeah, I guess this is what I am supposed to do. Like, there's nothing more that I can do. But then she turns around and she's there embracing him, saying, let's go home. I sobbed.
Yeah.
She's like admitting to being afraid, but that she wants to understand him. And she repeats his words that he's been telling to her back to him. If you need to talk, I'll listen.
Yeah.
If you need to be selfish, I'll let you. She wants to do these things for him because he's done those things for her. She wants to face struggles with him. She wants to live together and share little moments. And oh, I'm a wreck. I was a complete wreck watching it. You know what it means to Kyo, and you know what it means to Toru.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, for her to heal that mother wound in him. Not that he sees her as a mother, but I'm saying it because his mom was the one that created that wound.
Yes.
And literally all he wanted was for them to be honest.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all he wanted and all he needed.
Yeah. And to just know that somebody accepts him anyway. And so for her to still like do that, even after being like hurt and stuff. It was a lot. I cried too. I just, hats off to her. Like,
yeah.
Whew, child.
I think most people would have kept walking away after being, like, physically assaulted and told to go.
Right.
But she knew his heart. Like, she could see his heart. Ugh.
Yeah, and then after she accepts him, turns back to normal, and he has to hug her. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
And they're crying. She was crying, and then he was crying in his pants.
Yes.
Oh, and I just remember that in the manga, too. Like, I remember crying even watching it when she came back and stuff. And it's just her, like, holding him with, like, the tear and stuff and smiling. And I was just like, bitch, okay, I'm a soldier, but I'm not, like...
When she arrived, that's my last Rocky Road, when she arrives back at the Soma house, holding Kyo, snuggling him into her chest, and, like, they're teary-eyed, the both of them, literally sobbed so hard, like, harder than I did at the previous scene. Like, I literally just, like, got fully choked up and had to just have a cry after that.
Yeah, because, like, guys, like, because she literally was talking to him, like, let's go home, and she, like, carries him up. Okay, guys, I'm just gonna, I'm cool.
It's cool, we're fine. We're fine.
We're fine. She just, like, just carries him, like, home. And, like, Kazuma's all, like, happy and shit.
But yeah,
still,
yeah.
Just, oh, God. But that was the last thing I had in Rocky Road as well. Whew, I feel like I have to gather myself. But the hot fudge is here. It's there.
I don't have any hot fudge, and I only have one ice cream, you scream. So please feel free to take it away.
Okay. It's hot fudge time. Here we go.
Yes.
So the first hot fudge point that I have is Kazuma breaking the dojo promise to Kyo.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Yeah. I get that they think that Toru is so healing and all of this stuff or whatever. But if you know the added information about Kyo, I won't say it for the other people who haven't watched the rest of the anime or read the manga. But when you know what is supposed to happen to Kyo, Kazuma saying no is very infuriating, because you essentially, I think, especially just seeing part of Kyo's backstory, it's like, if he wants to live with you, I think you should just allow it.
Yes. Okay, like, putting it into that context, That's for sure hot fudge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you should just allow it. And I feel like I get that they think that Toru is so important to healing. And she is. But I just really don't like the fact, like, if you're supposed to be this father figure to him, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to have more time.
Yeah, yeah.
With him. Especially if that's in particular what he wants. And not only is it what he wants, you promised.
Yeah.
And I just don't really like it when adults break promises to children. And especially when it comes to this, because it's like one thing if it's like, oh, I promised you a ring pop and, like, you just didn't have the extra cents to buy it or whatever, like when we're at 7-Eleven. I think when it comes to actually living with somebody and being in a positive environment where he feels loved and accepted, I think you should just give that to him. And so I didn't like the fact that Kazuma broke his promise.
Yeah.
Also, Kazuma removing Kyo's beads. I get the purpose of it, because it's, you want him to confront his feelings, and he clearly doesn't accept this cat spirit that's inside of him. Like, he's saying he accepts it, but he hates it, but he hates everything and everything. And you want him to confront these beliefs and stuff and to see more, right? I guess to get him into a more zen state. But he's still a kid. And it's so traumatic.
Yeah.
He hasn't seen you in this long time. He wants to be around you, and you trick him.
Right.
In front of one of his friends because you want him to grow. And it's like, why don't you get him a therapist instead of inflicting trauma? Because if you think that, oh, like, he needs to accept himself, you know, a good way of getting him to accept himself is to talk to a therapist, to figure out what his strengths and weaknesses are, to speak to that. He should have had a grief counselor since his mom committed suicide. And I feel like something that I took issue with in general is that, we'll get into that more in the next episode, is clearly Kyo doesn't like it when people are talking badly about him and he feels defiant. And that's something he could have worked through with a therapist. But instead of getting him one, you're just like, okay, let me take something. This is a person that you value, that you don't even want them to know this thing about you because everyone in your life has disappointed you. And I'm putting you in that position to be disappointed again. It's just very messed up. I don't like it.
Right. Like, there was such a risk with doing that where Kyo could have lost all of the progress that he made. And even if, like, well, I do think that getting appropriate counselors is always the best move. Even if he didn't do that, Kazuma could have sat down and had his own conversation with Kyo, father to son.
Yeah.
Where he can go through what he's feeling. And, like, we don't know if they ever sat down and really had those difficult conversations. And now that Kyo is old enough, if he thinks that Kyo is old enough to, like, be forced to show his true form to some girl who may or may not save him, that he's only observed from afar for, like, a day or two, then I think he's old enough to have that conversation with Kazuma and talk through these things. And while Kyo can be hot-headed, I think that if he's going to be level-headed with anybody, it's going to be Kazuma. So I think that he should have sat down and had a conversation with him.
Right, because, like, for me, what I dislike is, I mean, obviously the whole situation, but, like, why would you do that to him? That's your son, right?
Yeah.
Why would you set him up like that? If you loved him, you could have gone about this entirely differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kazuma asking Toru in his mind to take care of Kyo. Like, what? You just met this girl. She smiled at her. That's why I was, like, upset by this whole situation. Because, like, you just met her. You saw him smile at her, like, literally the day before. It was just like, let me go and fuck that up and maybe you'll take care of it. Like, what the fuck is... No.
That is a lot of assuming, honestly. I didn't even really think about it.
It's crazy. I just, like, clearly the adults in this are not okay. Because why would you do that? That was dumb. But okay, this is really the last one that I had in Hot Fudge, and I'm sure it would be on yours. Toru gets yeeted, guys.
Quite.
She yeeted into the sky and falls into this river thing.
Yeah.
And I... Like, okay, I know that you wanted to push her away, but Kyo, did you have to literally, like, yeet her? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, there's truly no other word besides yeet.
Yeah,
like, she went soaring.
Soaring, like, she went soaring, like, you know, when people watch baseball and, like, they hit the ball and shit, and you're just watching to see where it's gonna fall? Like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, I'm sorry. This is so fucked up. But what was that toy from the 90s that got banned? It was like where you pull the string and like the little like fairy girl puts her like little wings out and she spins around the room.
Ooh, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name.
Like the magic like spinning flying dancers or something.
Oh, yeah. Sky Dancer. Sky Dancer.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, y'all. I used to watch it too. Like, I can't do anything. Sky Dancer.
Oh my gosh. It's such a serious moment. I'm sorry, guys. I deflect with humor.
Oh, God. No, it's okay. I literally called Kyo like a long shit in this episode. It's fine.
Oh my God. If we have any new listeners who are like, oh, what did they think of the finale of Fruits Basket season 1? I'm so sorry.
We're talking about Pokemon. We're talking about shitting after being drunk. We're talking about
Sky Dancers.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. She literally just went into like the sky. Like, you know how people used to, they would hit something into the sky and then it would turn into like a bright light and be like, puke.
Yes. A la Team Rocket if we're talking about Pokemon.
Right. For real. Like, ooh, never to be seen again. No, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really crazy. Just the level of aggression and violence towards her. And I feel that the fact that there weren't any adults around, they just let her go into the woods like that. I thought that was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, it literally became like, okay, Toru, go fetch, essentially. It's your problem.
Right. Yeah.
Just heal Kyo for us, why don't you?
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's literally dangerous.
Yes.
Like, he hit a mountain. Y'all aren't going to follow her, like, safely from a distance? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but it was spoiler, so yeah.
Oh, true. Okay. Do you have any hot fudge?
No, just one ice cream, you scream.
Okay, cool. Let's move on into ice cream, you scream. I just have one as well.
Okay.
Kind of lighthearted, though.
Oh, okay. Mine's not.
Oh, ooh, okay.
Mine's about Kyo's mom.
Okay.
I just had a problem with Kyo's mom not being upfront with her true feelings.
Yeah.
And masking it with lies. I think he needed the truth. I know that he's a child. But there's a way that I think she could have presented it to him, because he knew she was lying.
Yeah.
Like, he knew. He could feel that from her. So it was worse for her to lie and create this trauma and, like, these trust issues and thinking he's going to lose people anyway, or, like, they could never accept him because she pretended to accept him. So he's like, well, everybody else could be pretending to be accepting me. And, like, Toru had to, like, go above and beyond to, like, prove that that is not the case.
Yeah.
So I just had a problem with the way his mother handled everything.
Oh, yeah. She's a bitch.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad it's not just me.
I mean, I'm glad she's dead.
Oh, my gosh.
That's kind of fucked up, but it is what it is. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, some of y'all, some of women. Yeah. Y'all need some help.
Yeah.
But whether you're married into it or you were born, y'all need some help.
Yeah. Looking at Kisa's mom, looking at Momiji's mom.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I said it was lighthearted. It's not really that lighthearted. It's just Kagura listening at the door.
Like, while it's all going down.
Oh, no. When Kazuma was telling Shigure that he was going to take the beads off and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, In general, I didn't like that. But then at the same time, it's like I understood it in the sense that, like, all the Zodiac feel like some sort of revulsion when Kyo's cat spirit comes out. So even then, it was just like, why wasn't it a conversation with the other Zodiac people in the house that you're going to do this?
Yeah. I don't know. I might have felt even worse about it, honestly, if that were the case. If, like, Yuki and Kagura, I mean, I guess Kagura knew, were, like, in on it, and it was, like, this group thing that just Kyo and Toru didn't know about. I might have felt even worse about it if that were the case.
Because, like, my thing is, like, because we see Hatsuharu and them the next day or whatever, but, like, well, in the other episode, but still, like, him taking the rosary off doesn't really affect people unless they physically see it. So my thing is, even then, like, the adults in this situation aren't protecting the minors, because why wouldn't you tell Kagura and Yuki, hey, go to the main house today?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think that they had to witness that.
Right. Even if it wasn't the main house, because I don't think he'd be able to convince Yuki to go to the main house unless he utterly had to. He could have, like, he could have forced them to go on a date. But yeah.
Right. Or go to wherever Ayame was, like, living. Or they could have just gone somewhere, or, like, to the hot anywhere but there.
The hot spring would have been perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that's it for the penultimate episode of Fruits Basket Season 1. So let's get into the finale.
Yes.
Okay. Fruits Basket Episode 25. Summer is almost here. Here's our soft serve summary. Not edited.
You got this.
I'm going to try. Okay. Kazuma leaves the house with Toru without saying his goodbyes to Kyo. He confesses to her that he took Kyo in as atonement for the horrible things he said in his only meeting with his grandfather, Kyo's predecessor as the cat spirit. Before long, however, Kazuma grew to love Kyo as his son. Kyo manages to catch up to the pair and apologizes for being a burden to Kazuma. Now knowing each other's feelings, Kyo and Kazuma firmly reconcile their relationship as Kyo vows to become stronger. Meanwhile, Kagura leaves early while Yuki himself is unsure of his feelings. This attracts Hatsuharu's attention and he brings it up with Toru, who is also worried about Yuki. Hatsuharu later tells Yuki that it's all right to stay silent on his feelings, but he should not make Toru worry. Yuki soon reassures her that he strives to better himself gradually. After school, most of the Zodiac members are invited to dinner at Shigure's house. The episode ends with Hiro visiting Rin, the horse Zodiac, at the hospital, and Shigure himself at Okito's side, sensing that change is coming and the family curse might finally break. And that's our summary.
Whew. Yeah. Whew.
Okay. So, Gianna, do you have a theme?
I do. I wrote, it takes a great deal of strength to recognize your faults or weaknesses and decide to move forward, striving to be stronger or better.
Yes, yes. Very nice.
Thank you. What do you have?
I just said that no one is giving up. She's very to the point.
No, like, yeah.
Everybody
I love
keeps
that.
Saying that in this episode. Like, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up.
I was going to Rickroll everybody, but nobody needs that.
Yes, do it. Because I was literally like, there's a song that does it.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
Yeah, so no one's giving up. Do you have any sprinkle on top?
I do, actually.
Ooh, let's go.
I felt inclined to Google because IMA shows up to give like these crabs to Yuki and like as like a meal or whatever, like a special like bonding moment. So I was like, let me just quick Google crab symbolism really quick. And what came up is that crabs apparently symbolize rebirth, and IMA is gifting these to Yuki as he's vowing to become a better version of himself.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
It
although
is.
Yuki was not happy.
He was not. No, he wanted no parts of it.
No parts at all. I think it's not really a symbolism, but everybody kept talking about that the summer is coming, a change is coming.
Yeah.
So I just put that.
Yeah, it's like a change of season, you know.
A change of season, something is definitely happening within us and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into Floats Your Boat.
Okay.
I thought it was very cute seeing Kazuma holding a tiny Kyo so he could look at the cherry blossoms because he was trying to ignore the people talking shit about him.
Yeah, I thought in all the flashbacks, it was a really nice showcasing of just how connected Kazuma and Kyo were and still are. I thought he was like a really good dad to him overall.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I was just like, oh, he was so cute. And it, honestly, this reminds me, I know that there was mention, I mean, we see Kagura again in the episode and stuff, but it reminds me of like when we first meet Kagura. And then that flashback, Kyo's even younger and he's drawing eggs in the sand because he's a baby.
Yes.
And I was just like, how can y'all be mean to this baby? He's drawing eggs. Like,
right. Sweet, sweet boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that. I also liked Toru questioning Kazuma for not talking to Kyo before leaving.
Yes.
Because kind of what the fuck, but yeah.
Yes, I really liked that she addressed that because, yeah, what the fuck. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I have the utter joy on Toru's face after seeing Kyo and Kazuma connect.
Yeah.
And just seeing that pure, unfiltered joy from Kyo is so adorable.
It was so cute. I was just like, oh, look at them.
Yeah.
They're like fighting.
They're fighting, but they're not. They're communicating.
They're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, oh, I'll add that here as well. I think that Kazuma should have allowed Kyo to get one punch in because he deserved it.
I think so. Yeah, I think so too.
Like a good sock in the face. Bitch.
Like, took my fucking beads off.
Right, like, are you serious? And then you're like a bead and run, like, oh god.
Oh my god.
Yeah bead and run, but yeah. Let's see. Oh, Kazuma calling Kyo his son because Kyo is like, oh, I gotta work myself up to call you like dad. And then Kazuma's just like, you're my son now, period.
Like, oh my god, that's actually like my only Rocky Road point because I actually teared up at that whole exchange because they had both been wanting to express that for so long and they finally felt like it was the right time to.
Right. And my thing is just like, y'all just be taking in these kids, y'all don't know how to talk.
Right. I know.
Like, y'all just don't talk. Like, he's saying all this stuff, you didn't say like, well, why would you say that? Like, I know parenting doesn't come naturally for people who never really thought about being a parent, but come on now. Like, at that point, he was in middle school or whatever. Like, you should have been talking to him. But anyway.
Yeah, yeah. The next thing that I have is about Yuki.
Okay.
This is when Yuki tells Toru that he's working on self-improving and he wants to tell her everything about himself someday, even if he's not ready to right now. I really like that. You know, sometimes it's easier to start making progress on yourself when you tell somebody else about your plans. It's not that they're going to hold you accountable or anything. Like, are you growing? Are you working on yourself? But it's more motivating to know that, like, you told somebody that. So they're, like, prepared to see you grow. So it motivates you more to start growing. And I just love that he chose Toru to confide in. I think that that's a very sweet bond that they have.
You know, I think I put this in Hot Fudge, but honestly, it could be more Banana Split. I think when it comes to that scene, not that I'm against it, because obviously Toru wanted to know that Yuki was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I just want people to get into the habit of, if you're about to start telling people stuff, at least kind of get into the impetus of saying, this is what I want to talk about. Or, hey, do you have space to talk about this? And this is all the stuff I'm doing to work on myself. Like, I'm not against him talking about working on himself, but it was just more so like, she was worried about you. And then instead of checking her mental state after what she literally did, you're just like, here's all the things I'm doing to help myself. And I'm just kind of like, friendships go both ways, right? I got to make sure, are you good before I'm like telling you, even if I'm telling you positive things about, are you in a space like to hear this stuff out?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that was like slightly more Banana Split. But I mean, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he talked to her because she was worried. So it did help alleviate that for her.
Yeah.
I had Toru getting shoujo bubbles because Kyo was trying to not be agitated by Yuki. And so she's like, oh, he's doing exactly what he told Kazuma of being a better person. And literally, like, bubbles behind her. Like, she was so happy.
That's so cute. Yeah. I did have in Floats Your Boat, IMA bringing all that crab for Yuki. And then just Yuki not being pleased at all to see him.
Like, he literally turned grayscale. Like,
yeah, it's like it was like the most intense, like, blue lines ever. Like, he was not having it
at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Hatsuharu patting Toru's head.
Oh, that was sweet.
After sort of telling him what went on and stuff, I was just like, yeah, that's nice. Support her.
Yeah. He's a fave. I love Hatsuharu.
For real. Me too. Young, but he knows what's up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The last Floats Your Boat I have is Yuki actively fighting his natural reaction to Kyo's spirit.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot deeper, right? Because for the Zodiac, when they physically see it, it's repulsive to them as a Zodiac member. And so seeing him, like, him going quiet because he's fighting these feelings of revulsion. Like, yes, he hates Kyo, but that spirit is not his choice. And so it's kind of like psychologically, he's also battling himself or his rat spirit inside of him of being hateful about even that and trying to keep a lid on that. I really appreciate it just because of the fact that they really do not like each other. But it's like, I'm keeping it to how you are as a human, not how you are as a spirit.
Interesting. I didn't even think about it like that, but I really like that interpretation of, like, how he was behaving in this episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really appreciated it. So I was just like, oh, okay, like, you know, y'all could be hating each other, but, like, there is a level of understanding that's, like, sort of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's move into Banana Split.
Okay.
Okay. Gianna.
All right, guys, it's the Fruits Basket finale, so this means I have one last opportunity this year to fangirl about Eric Vale.
Okay. True.
So I am certain that the only reason I had this reaction to this scene is because of Eric Vale's performance of Yuki, and it's not, like, Yuki the character, I don't know. But anyway, so Toru's reaction in the Kamidan scene is exactly what I would have done, the way she, like, goes red and limp and, like, swoons over. However, the line, I'll kidnap you is sus as fuck. So that's why it's banana split.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like so suave until he's like, I'll kidnap you. I'm like, okay. No.
It's very extreme. It's like,
yes.
It's like I was there until I wasn't.
Yes. Like you had me until you didn't.
Yeah. I had Kagura leaving without saying anything.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, she knew it was going to happen. So it's kind of like she could have like left. But I guess she was just watching to see how Toru would react. And I guess felt at that moment, oh, shouldn't impose myself, which I wish she felt like that regularly, but...
Yeah, if only that's a trait she had on the norm.
For real. Also, this is very random. I think that Hatsuharu's tattoo is ugly in different lights.
Okay, interesting. I didn't...
On his arm.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, no, I just think it's a product of his time, because I remember, like, in the 2000s, people were doing, like, those armband tattoos.
Yeah.
And, like, now, not that people don't do arm tattoos, but more people are like, oh, if I do something on my arm, it's gonna turn into a sleeve.
Yeah.
Or a half sleeve. And so it's just kind of like, okay. But yeah, it just look kind of weird, like ugly and watercolor. Like I know that there are watercolor tattoos that can actually look very pretty, but still, it just kind of looked ugly, my bad. Okay, I have two more banana splits. Do you have more?
I have two more.
Okay.
My first of the two more is just that because I'm me and I love like the most melodramatic scenes. They're the ones that do the most for me. I like to like see everything hashed out and fleshed out as much as possible. I couldn't help but think through a lot of this episode that I really would have liked to see the aftermath of that night.
Yeah.
Like, how the following day went. Was anything said? Did, like, Kyo and Toru talk about anything? Or did they just resume their lives like nothing happened? I really, really would have liked to see more of what unfolded. Like, how was Shigure after this? What was his behavior like? I really, really had a lot of questions I would have liked to see answered.
Yeah, you know what? In line, or not in line. I guess it is. In line or in tune with that, I would have loved to see Hattori's reaction.
Yes. Definitely.
Because Hattori is against the high-handed method that Shigure is using in trying to get Toru to be an awakening for the Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's not going to say anything, but he's against it. And Kazuma and Shigure were being high-handed when it came to taking off Kyo's beads. And you know that Hattori was called because he literally yeeted her into the sky.
Yes.
Cut her shoulder and her neck.
Right. Like, what did Toru tell Hattori? Because was he clued in? Because she wouldn't tell Hatsuharu because it was like this, you know, secret event that happened. So what does Hattori even know? There's so many questions.
There's so many questions for me because I feel like people would be concerned. Why do you have this big ass bandage on your neck?
Right. There's no follow-up on Toru's injuries
at all.
Like, is she okay? What happened? Does she need stitches? Like, nobody's talking about it. Again, that I guess that kind of does just lump into this one where there's just so many questions about the immediate events after that night that I really wish we had answered.
I would have appreciated, at least when it comes to Hattori, him being angry at them for doing that.
Yeah.
Because somebody needs to be angry on these kids' behalf for them being manipulated into doing certain things because the adults think that this is what's best for them. And for her to be excessively hurt like that, like, you can't tell me her shoulder wasn't dislocated at least.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway. Oh, this is so stupid. I just said that I think that the uniform ties are ugly. They're too short. They could be a little bit longer.
That's funny.
Short ties are cool if you can't tell. So, like, if you're wearing, like, a vest on top or you're wearing, like, a blazer, then I wouldn't care. But, like, seeing a regular short tie on a short sleeve, I think it's ugly. Sorry, y'all. Yeah, that's all I have for banana split. Do you have one left, right?
I do have one left. So this was originally in Floats Your Boat, and then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, no, this is definitely banana split.
Yeah.
So we have all of the Somas gathered for dinner, which is so cute. However, It seems to be Shigure's little plan to be at the Soma estate alone with a certain family member, since everyone's at his place, and that is why it's been in a split. He's being manipulative.
I had that in Hot Fudge.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's valid. I mean, my thing is, it's only a banana split because I just love seeing everybody gathered. And it's like a really important time, I think, to get people together. But also, it's just Shigure being manipulative.
For real, for real. I mean, to just lightly get into it, really, because I have other hot fudge stuff. I think for Shigure to say that there's going to be a big family dinner at his house, and you're basically making Toru cook this dinner.
Yeah.
For all of these unexpected people, and you don't even have the decency to physically be there, is crazy.
Yeah, how are you going to host a dinner and then leave?
Or not even be there.
Before it starts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Very wild. Very wild. Okay, I guess let's get into Rocky Road.
I mean, we can stay in Hot Fudge if it's easier, because I actually said my only Rocky Road earlier.
Oh, okay. Let's do Hot Fudge and then Rocky Road.
Okay. Just because I felt like we got into it, you know?
Yeah. So just in general, like, we sort of already talked about it, but Kazuma leaving Kyo without saying goodbye after literally traumatizing him.
Yeah.
You're literally insane. You are insane. I don't really understand how you could do that to somebody you call your child. I don't know why there isn't any, like, a cool down period, right? Pleading, groveling. This is just what I thought was right. And, oh, wow, you look like a bullshit. I think there should have been groveling. I think that for him to do that to him, and then it's like, you're too pussy to go in, literally to the cat, but still, you're too pussy to go in. Like, oh, I'm here. Like, sorry for doing that to you, son. Like, my bad. Like, nothing. Like, and then you didn't even let him punch you. And my thing is just like, do you see her fucking neck? She got fucked up.
Yeah.
And he slaps him too, which I guess is sort of reminiscent, like light reminiscent of Toru being yeeted in the other episode. But still, like,
Yeah, I think it's pretty fucked up that he didn't just talk to Kyo at all after everything which he is responsible for. You know, you call this kid your son, you say you love him a great deal, the least you could do is talk to him about it, maybe help him understand why you did that, you know?
Yeah, I just really hated that, honestly. It made me very mad. I have one last hot fudge.
Okay.
Do you have any more?
Actually, we kind of went through all of my stuff because I said my Rocky Road earlier and my Ice Cream, You Scream already, so I'm just like chilling. I'm chilling to chime in.
Okay. I had Kagura kicking Kyo in the face.
Oh, okay. Why the fuck did I not write that down? Oh my, I'm so over her.
I'm over her. I'm so sorry, guys. I know this is a little, you got a little bit of this in our last episode with Crystal. She's very pathetic. You left when nobody was awake and you come back and kick him in the face. Literally, fuck you.
Right.
He went through an ordeal too. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's never been cute, and it's never going to be cute that you're aggressive towards him.
And imposing your feelings on him.
Yeah. Like, stop. That's not what Kyo needs after everything that just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I just really despise it. It's like, who are you outside of this narrative you're building around somebody that doesn't want you?
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. But that's all I have for Hot Fudge. So I guess to get a little bit into the sads, because I had some Rocky Road.
Okay.
Kyo questioning if Kazuma took him in out of pity or kindness. We find out it's atonement, but it's like he was thinking about this during the flashback portion when he was still small.
Yeah.
So that just made me sad, because it's like, when has he ever really been safe for real?
Oh.
Like, I know now with Toru.
Yeah.
But, like, has he ever, he's never even been safe even with his pseudo father. Because, like, that's a question, that's not even a question, that's something you assert to a child that young in the very beginning and stuff. So Kyo, when he had that outburst at the middle school and Kazuma was, like, watching like a creep from, like, the crack of the door, saying like, oh, she shows not my dad. But the reason he was saying that was because he didn't like how negatively people talked about him, and he didn't want people to talk negatively about Kazuma.
Yeah, I should have put this in Rocky Road too. I definitely agree that made me really sad to see, because you know that these two people care a great deal about each other and they feel like father and son, but for one reason or another, they feel like they can't express that.
Yeah. Yeah. It just really made me just so sad. And it's just like, y'all, you claim to be a parental figure, like you should probably talk to your kid.
Yeah.
To be like, why is he having this type of outburst or whatever? You know, like you want to be a parental figure, like you need to be like Hanajima's parents, like to be honest.
Oh, Hanajima's parents are like
the gold standard
prime example of how to be. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the last one. Oh, my gosh. This broke me up, y'all. This really took me down. Is like when we see flashback of Kazuma as a kid and he goes to talk to the grandpa. He didn't want to take his candy because he's like, I don't want to be cursed, which actually kind of reminds me, very serious topic change about AIDS, like the AIDS epidemic, because back when nobody knew about it, they just thought, oh, if you're near gay people, you will just get it or whatever, which not really the case. But it was what made me very sad. Was when you saw the grandpa, he looked like an old version of Kyo.
He did. He did.
In this cage. Just thinking about it, like, I am trying so hard not to be choked up. Like, you're literally in a jail and you're giving out, like, candy to your grand. Oh, God.
Yeah. He's like, let me try to connect with you.
Yeah.
Instead of like being angry that he's afraid of him, he's just going to try to reach out.
Yeah. Which kind of makes me sad in the sense that Kazuma took this on to atone for being mean to his grandpa, but he's like trying to prepare Kyo to be like his grandpa.
Oh my God. Oh, my whole heart. I can't.
Sorry for fucking y'all up with it.
Yeah, this has been a roller coaster episode. My goodness.
It really has. Child, we went through a lot.
We sure did.
I'm just trying to pick myself back up because. Woo! Okay. I scream, you scream.
Okay. Mine was just the one about no follow up on Toru's injuries.
Yeah, even speaking on that, because that was one of my things. Where's Toru's workers' compensation? I was harmed on the job.
Oh my God.
And I'm still cooking dinner for you bitches. Y'all need to have takeout for the rest of the week.
Yeah, again, why I would like to see more follow-up from the aftermath of that day.
Yeah.
How was any of that addressed? Not even just with Hatori, with the rest of the house. Like, how did Yuki respond to her being hurt like that? What is anybody? She should be waited on hand and foot.
Right. Oh, that's another thing to touch on, Gianna. The fact that they stood away because their own spirit was like felt repelled by Kyo's cat spirit. But it wasn't enough. Their relationship with Toru wasn't strong enough for them to try to stand beside her to make sure she was okay while she ventures out to see this really strong cat spirit that could possibly kill her. Like,
yeah.
They should feel guilty too, not just like, oh, I'm upset at, like, you should feel guilt because you all let her walk into that.
Yeah,
you were just in your room
like watching at the window.
I really wish we could have seen Hattori like angry, because I feel like Hattori would have been actually like mad, and it would have been nice to see an adult mad about that. Or even aside from that, Uo and Hanajima.
Right, like they're gonna have questions. I mean, I guess Toru will try to brush it off in some way or another. We know she's not that good at lying.
Right, she lives with three men and you're seeing her and she has a cut on her literal neck.
Yeah.
And her arm is wrapped up. Oh, y'all getting fucked up for real. Like, what?
Right, I'm sure she would try to say like something happened at work, but you know what that also reminds me of? If Hatori is coming in and he's angry, you know who's probably going to want to go see Toru because they're hurt? Momiji. What would Momiji have to... I have an unsurmountable amount of questions that I need answered about what happened directly after the events of that night.
Because you know what? If any of them knew what was going to go down, if anyone was going to follow Toru to be like, to see if she's okay, it would have been Momiji.
It would have been. It would have been.
Yeah. Even Haru to an extent. Hatsuharu.
I was thinking the same thing. Haru is very stubborn in that way. He will protect.
Yeah. just crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the last one that I have, but I already mentioned this, is just, you know, I thought that Kazuma could have worked with Kyo on his issue with people talking negatively about him. But we kind of mentioned that earlier, but I was just like, ice cream, you could have worked on that, dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that is it for our first finale with Fruits Basket Season 1. It has been a literal journey.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It sure has.
You guys, we mean this from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you so much for rocking with us through our recap of this series. It's not over. We're going to do it again next year, eventually. But thank you so much. Like, we really appreciate it. We primarily wanted to get started with Fruits Basket because, like, everyone loves it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just thank you so much for supporting us. It means the absolute world. But, yeah, so I just wanted to note that before we get into our patron shout out.
Yes, guys, thank you so much for coming on this journey with us. And a special big thank you to our patrons, starting with our Sprinkles patrons. We have Gloves, Akemi, Pete, and PJ. We have our wonderful whipped cream patron, Mark M, and our hot fudge patrons. We have Mackenzie, Aaron, AJ, and Mark D. Thank you guys so, so much for being our patrons.
Yes, we appreciate you guys so, so much. We started our Patreon because we wanted to go back to being weekly, and we have our supporters, and we're so appreciative of all of the patrons we have right now. Our kind of goal is we want to be able to get an editor to take on like 2 episodes. So sincerely, if you guys want us to go back to being weekly, the more patrons we have, the more we'll be able to do that. So please make sure to just share with people like what we're doing here and what it means to you. And, you know, we appreciate all the help we can get towards that, because we just don't want everything to just be all on Gianna all of the time when it comes to editing. We need to have space and stuff. And that's why we're bi-weekly now. But, you know, if you're able to help us hit that goal like per month, it would help us out so much. In addition to that, we'd also like to announce, I mean, we do have an episode coming out after this because this is the holiday season. So first of all, happy holidays to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, like whatever holiday you celebrate, I hope that you're with your loved ones and you're happy and safe. But another announcement we want to make is that we are going to be on a break again.
Yes.
We did this last year where we took a break in January. And we figured out that we would go bi-weekly, but we wanted to go on a break because Gianna and I truly need it. Now, this is not a break for patrons, so if you still need that added dose of us, it's going to be available.
Yes, yes, yes.
We just need that time to really, like, recoup and build ourselves back up and stuff because we have an amazing slate for 2024.
Ooh, definitely. Yes, I'm very excited about 2024.
Yeah, so you guys, so just we just want to take that break, but we're going to come back hot in February during Black History Month. Another reason for you all to join the Patreon, support me.
Yes.
But in any case, yeah, so we just wanted to announce that now it might be in our film, the next episode we have out, which you all will find out when the episode comes out. I'm not going to tell you that now, but still, we just wanted to say now that, you know, January, we're taking a little off time.
Yeah.
We hope that you guys have like a happy holiday and a great new year. And there has been so much loss. Just to touch on this to begin with, like we advertise our podcast as being a safe haven for people to come and to hear us talk about shoujo and to be able to kind of get away from the world, to escape from it and stuff, so you could think about more lighthearted things or be introspective about certain properties that you really like. But it has really been blowing Gianna and I's mind, just the level of just there's so much genocide happening. It's not just in Palestine, it's also in Congo, it's in the Sudan. It is so crazy. I know if anybody's noticed us being a little spotty on social media, it's really because of that, because sometimes I feel insane, like just going on social media and it's like you see people talking about their interests and what they like, and it's like they're just literally, there's so many people dying and there's and it's all over socials, and there's like the autoplay for videos and stuff, and so it's like I'm seeing things, no trigger warning, and it's just like people like who are in immense pain or going into surgery or having their inalienable rights taken away from them. It is so inhumane. And for me personally, and this isn't like, I'm not trying to really like go back and forth, right? Like when it comes in particular about Israel and Palestine, I don't want anybody to misconstrue what we're talking about or to say that we're being anti-Semitic in any way. We are definitely not.
No.
We support the Jewish community. But when it comes to specifically, I feel like the anger that we have, or that at least I could say that I have when it comes to Israel, is just primarily on the government.
Yes.
You want to get rid of a terrorist organization? Okay. I don't know why you need to kill children to accomplish it.
Right, right.
I think that that is literally insane. And it's everyone, men, women, and children, elderly people, like elderly people, disabled people. It's just so grotesque and just terrible. And my heart goes out to all of people who have family, who lost family members, the people who are currently like still over there that are going through that, all of the martyrs. The amount of loss, like they even bombed like one of the third oldest church in the world. So this isn't just like against, it's not just against like the like Muslim community. Like there's Palestinian Jewish people, there's Palestinian Christians and Muslims, and like the third oldest church in the world, like just gone. I didn't want to be remiss in not talking about it. I know that like you don't expect that from our podcast, but it's just so heavy and there are so many different things going on. The best thing that I could say is just to keep talking about it, to keep sharing it, because all of these people that are dying or going through these terrible things, and like I said, it's not just in Palestine, it's also in Congo and it's also in the Sudan and so many places, but all of these people had dreams and stories and goals and desires and stuff, and the best thing that we could do is really just share their message and share who they are. So it's not that they're just gone like that. But yeah, so that's really all that I had on it.
Yeah, yeah. My heart just goes out to these people. And every time I open social media, it's like whiplash, because you see like, here's my manga reading list. And then like a post underneath it is just like these unspeakable tragedies that are happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, my heart just breaks for these innocent people losing their lives every day.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess outside of that, because that was very important, we wanted to talk about that. I think that that is it. So we have one more episode coming out before the new year begins and before our break. So please look forward to it. It's a film that Gianna and I enjoyed very, very much.
Yes, very much.
And yeah, just happy holidays, everyone. Stay safe, and we'll see you later.
Yep, we will see you then.
Bye.